This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us on Tuesday afternoons. He's the executive director at Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. We talk every week, and we haven't done this in a long time. Remind us what Charlottesville Tomorrow is and what it is not.
Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization that studies land use and transportation issues in the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County. So basically, we got lots of public meetings. We are sort of like the C-SPAN for local government. We'll record from gavel to gavel these public meetings, put the audio up on our website, put a little bit of analysis there, and sort of keep an ongoing archive of this information. We also get involved in local elections, but in a nonpartisan way, and we don't endorse any candidates. We just cover all the candidates. We ask them questions about growth and development, get them on the record, and we mail out a voter guide to all the voting households so they can make up their own mind about these candidates.
And you don't make any endorsements, which I've never understood why media organizations make endorsements.
Well, I guess there some editorial pages would do that.
Yeah.
But the, I think there's supposed to be a firewall between the
editorial and the reporters.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and they're online at cvilletomorrow.org. And the best thing I like about it, Brian, that y'all do is you provide context for every story, and there's institutional memory, and there's history, and there's like, and as you're talking about something, you say, and don't forget this, and this happened, and isn't it interesting that this person said this when they used to say this? And we miss a lot of that in a town where you get some turnover with your journalists.
Yep.
And they're oftentimes young folks who are starting out in a small market, and they don't have the institutional memory, and they'll just go out and report a story and they don't have the memory to say, well, wait a minute, that's not what he said last year. Or, wait a minute, why are they doing this when they did this last year? And so it's nice that you cover these stories with a lot of context.
Thank you. Well, we on the website, we certainly try to make that available to our subscribers and to people that come to the website. And you can look at our stories by category and find all the stories, for example, on the Eastern Connector or on a major development like Biscuit Run. Not every news organization has a Chris Callahan and Rob Graham like WINA does. And certainly they have quite an institutional memory about everything that's happened in this community, I think back to the beginning of time.
Yeah, indeed. The dinosaurs, when the dinosaurs, and when the earth formed the Blue Ridge and all that stuff. Well, seriously though, between them, I think they have more than 60 years or as close to 70 years reporting on news in this town.
And we have sat around the office. We want to just steal them from you, put them in front of a keyboard, and just make them type out everything they know about the community. And we'll put that up as a new website and a rich repository for
the
community.
We'll call it Rob and Chris. Yeah, there you go. So let's start first, though, before we get into talking about the Eastern Connector, which you just mentioned. We've talked about pie many times on this program. This has become Pie Day here on Charlottesville Right Now. And you have become the pie man of Central Virginia. And folks know when Brian talks about pie, people listen.
I think that's why my wife bought a scale for our bathroom. Now that I think about it.
Suddenly that's why that scale is
suddenly
there.
The scale just showed up in our bathroom.
It's trying to give you a hint.
What is that for? And but I sort of like it. I find myself standing on it. It's got this little digital readout, which I like.
Ooh, a digital scale.
Yeah, it's digital.
Ooh, those are fancy.
It blinks at you. It's thinking.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally it shows you the number.
Interesting.
But
really?
It doesn't give me any advice beyond that.
We have a scale. I just stay away from it. I sort of look at it and say, shut up.
Well,
keep walking.
In advance of my scale's going to get a workout here because on May 16th, Sean Tubbs, my colleague at the office, Sean and I have scheduled our pie day. So as long as we have good weather, on May 16th, that Friday, we are going to circumnavigate Albemarle County in the quest for pie.
You've been talking about this for months.
We have. Well, we had to wait for the leaves to get on the trees and get a little spring color out there we can take pictures of.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to, sort of document our trip around the county, in part because Sean has not been to all these places in the county. There are places I have not been in Albemarle County. Albemarle is the fifth largest locality in Virginia.
What is it, 709 square miles, something like that?
725 or so square miles.
Wow, that's huge.
It's big.
Huge.
And there are little nooks and crannies that I've never been to. Never been to Howardsville, never been up to Boonesville. So we're going to try to hit all those places and see some of the areas that we've talked about in our news coverage over the past 3 years. And then, but also, we're going to be eating our way around the county.
You're going to stop in these little
little crossroads country stores.
Yeah, and little mom and pop quickie marts.
And try to find home-baked goodness.
There you go.
You know, these foods that are truly homemade and that should be known by all and preserved forever.
There you go. And you're going to document them.
Because we need to help advertise that we have these treats out there.
Yeah.
And that they're homemade and... maybe we'll become known for some.
Well, if I can join you, I will. Otherwise, we will have a full debrief, a full pie debrief, the first Tuesday after this event, and maybe Sean can even join you and just let us know how it was and what it tasted like.
It's gonna be fun.
We'll look forward to that. Now on to the growth and development. First off, first thing on our list here is the Eastern Connector, which has always been. Personally, I've never been a fan of the Meadow Creek Parkway because it's the one road that never made sense to me for a variety of reasons. And they keep pushing it through. It has never, ever made sense to me. Made sense in the mid-60s when they first created the idea. But as time went on and Charlottesville changed, it was the one road you could look at and you go, you know what? That doesn't make sense anymore. And yet, powers that be just kept putting it back on the table. The one road that does make a lot of sense to me and has always made sense is this Eastern Connector, which is northeast of town and would connect Route 29 north with the Pantops area,
mm-hmm.
so that you could get to Route 29 North from Pantops without having to, A, go through the city, or B, try to navigate 20 and profit and basically cutting through, backcountry roads.
Well, and in fact, one of the locations for the proposed Eastern Connector is Profit Road. That's one of the proposed...
Well, then we already have it.
Well, we do, but, you know, Downtown Profit is
a... Change the name of the road.
Downtown Profit's a small historic community with a one-lane wooden bridge over the railroad
tracks. Yeah, and it's pretty up there.
And actually, they would relocate Profit Road, so there'd be a bypass around Profit.
Ah.
And several bridges over railroads and rivers along the way. That's the furthest north possibility for the Eastern Connector. The other one is Polo Grounds Road, so about halfway between the city and Profit Road. And Polo Grounds Road would connect over also to Profit and 20. And then the closest one in is through Penn Park. So you'd be on Rio Road. You get off of 29 at Rio, and you'd be coming down Rio. You pass K-Tech. In the future, maybe, there'll be a Meadow Creek Parkway heading off to the
right
there. And then you would keep going. You'd pass Dunlora, that subdivision. And then potentially the proposal that's on the table is a 2 or 4 lane road through Penn Park across the Ravanna River over to 20.
But aren't they putting a new neighborhood up there, Belvedere?
Belvedere, you would have already passed it at that point.
Okay.
That's up. You know where the Covenant Church is?
Uh-huh.
It's Belvedere's right behind that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you would turn in to go to Penn Park and then there'd be a road back in there or perhaps from Rio?
That's one of the proposals. So what happened last Friday, and I said this on the air last week, was that the steering committee was going to meet again, and we'll have this report up on our website tomorrow sometime, but we've got a summary of what transpired. And basically, the committee, which includes folks from the city and county, is recommending three different corridors for the Eastern Connector, and they're trying to figure this all out before they give their recommendations to the Board of Supervisors and Charlottesville City Council. So they're looking at those three different routes and presenting the options and probably prioritizing which ones they think would best alleviate traffic. Now, the place they're trying to alleviate traffic congestion is the Free Bridge, because that's sort of the constrictor point. And it gets very expensive to try widening that or building new bridges.
They just widened it, didn't they?
They did, not
10,
too long ago.
15 years ago?
Yeah. Seems
I
like
remember
yesterday.
Doing it. Yeah, yep. It does seem like yesterday.
So
but they're just going to move the constriction up the hill to Route 20.
Well, I think that's a good thing to point out. And you know, with a lot of these roads, Coy, I mean, that's sort of that's the second reaction people have. You know, once you get them past whether they're for it or against it, you know, Meadow Creek Parkway, we've talked about how it's going to run into Melbourne Road.
Yeah,
and be an at-grade intersection.
Build a multi-million-dollar interchange at McIntyre Road only to go a few hundred yards and hit a stoplight, sign.
Now, granted, there's a lot more traffic moving on 250. That, you know, it helps to grade separate.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hit a traffic light. So that, you know, there's some sense if you look at traffic volumes to doing that. But you're right to point out that in both those cases, you're going to be putting traffic into a place where there's going to be an at-grade intersection that's probably going to fail pretty quickly.
Yeah. And that would fail. Meadow Creek Parkway would fail at Melbourne unless they do something there. And it would also fail. The Eastern Connector would fail by dumping all the traffic out on 20. right there at Pantops.
Yeah. And I remember you at one point suggested a roundabout over at Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would make the most sense to me, doesn't it? I mean, you know, that's, you keep the traffic moving. They have to slow down, obviously, but you keep the traffic moving through there rather than all these stoplights, and it would back up into your brand new interchange.
My guess would be that would take up more land than the city school board is currently considering giving up, and that's going to happen Thursday night. The city school board's having their meeting.
Oh, really? That's Thursday?
Yep. So we're sort of back to the Meadow Creek Parkway here.
But do they have to make a decision on Thursday?
They're expected to make a decision. Okay. I don't know that they have to. But.
And this is, for folks who don't know, this is the city school board will revisit this idea Thursday night. VDOT's asking them for land. It's a practice field, I think.
It's a softball practice field right now for Charlottesville High School. And it's land in Albemarle County that's owned by the city of Charlottesville and used by the city school board. And so the city schools are being asked to determine whether that land should be given to VDOT.
Now, before we take a break, remind us again, the Eastern Connector, where are we with that? What's the... they're trying to decide, then they have these three options of the route.
The committee's going to meet again in late May. What they've decided at this point is that they're going to recommend three routes for the proposed road. And two of them are clearly in Albemarle County. The third one is in both the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle.
That's the Penn Park one.
And that goes through Penn Park, because Penn Park is in the city.
Yeah. Would it go through the golf course? Is that what they're saying?
Not clear yet. Sometimes they show it going around it. Sometimes they show it going through it.
Yeah.
And so there's a question about whether it's two lanes or four lanes. And they're going to meet again late May, and then they hope this summer to get all these proposals in front of the supervisors and city council.
Yeah. I like the Polo Grounds one.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't like the one going through the city, only because it doesn't make sense if you want to build an expensive new road. And of course, all of this is contingent on the fact that one day money will appear. But if you're going to build a very expensive new road to alleviate congestion, it doesn't make sense to connect two of the most congested parts, to dump it out on Rio Road. That makes no sense, you know, whether the Meadow Creek Parkway is built or not. And it doesn't make sense to have a bypass type of road so far north where you'd have to go all the way up to Prophet to cut over to 29. But Polo Grounds is a fair middle of the area kind of thing, and it brings you right up near to the river, right? Polo Grounds is that road. Yep. Right on the other side of the river from
that's
Walmart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a decent location where you could assume most folks who are trying to get over to 29, that's generally the area that they're going to. Walmart, Target, the airport, you know, generally broad strokes here, but generally speaking.
Well, the traffic data shows that neither of those northern routes would be as effective as the Penn Park route at reducing congestion.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that? Because
more people would use that if it was closer in and available. And that would apparently get more cars off of Freebridge.
Interesting. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk growth and development. And, well, let's get to it. Let's talk about it. It's what everybody's talking about. What you just drank.
I just took a sip of water.
Water. Water, 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 water.
Everybody is talking about it. And you're certainly giving it a lot of attention on this program, and it's an important community topic, and it relates to growth. It relates to how we use the resources we have and how we work together as a community. And so I think, you know, what's interesting about this is May 6th, City Council is having the next public meeting about this. It's a work session, so I'm not expecting the public to be able to comment at the meeting. Typically, at a City Council work session, they don't have those opportunities.
You just observe.
But Tom Frederick from the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority will certainly be there presenting, you know, their plan and where they are with it. You did see recently in the newspaper and the other weekly papers that the RWSA, the Albemarle County Service Authority, those are the two utilities, and then the City of Charlottesville and Albemarle County, they all jointly signed a letter that was published in the papers updating the citizens on where they are with this plan. And obviously that's in response to the Hook's really in-depth coverage over the past 8 weeks. I mean, Hoss Spencer at the Hook has been giving this a lot of paper and ink.
Yeah.
In eight consecutive issues, which I've never seen ever.
I don't think I've seen on any story.
Yeah. So
I mean, I think the baby switch we did three issues, you know?
So it's pretty unprecedented, and that's got people asking questions. Yesterday was the regular monthly meeting of the Water and Sewer Authority, and the meeting only lasted 15 minutes. But the news coming out of that meeting, and I wasn't there, but Sean Tubbs with Charlottesville Tomorrow covered it, and we'll have a story up on our website in a few minutes about this. But the news was Hawes Spencer speaking during public comment and asking questions. And so there, you know, I've never seen the publisher or editor of a major publication getting in front of, taking the opportunity during public comment to start putting elected and appointed officials, in that case, appointed officials, on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Different things.
And interesting that no questions were answered, although they said this isn't a time when we would answer questions.
Well, but, you know, I think, I don't know why Hawes was surprised by that. I mean, that's the way public comment is done.
Yeah.
In virtually all of these public forums.
You just comment, it's not a Q&A.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's some exceptions. So if you go to those meetings, you know what those exceptions are. The Metropolitan Planning Organization, interestingly, after they have public comment, they have a part of the agenda that says responses to matters from the public. So they try to build it into their agenda to immediately respond. And so a lot of citizens come and they say, hey, I want an answer to this question. And then they try to give it to them, or they say, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
But most public bodies don't handle it that way. It's an opportunity to listen, to accept that feedback. It may come up later in a meeting. It may come up at a future meeting where they try to respond in some way. But it's more of a one-way conversation. Not everyone likes that. Sometimes they show up, they don't understand that process.
Yeah, they want an answer.
And they're frustrated.
Yeah.
When people look at them and say, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds like that's what Mr. Spencer got when he was asking questions.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll have the audio up. You can hear what Hawes Spencer was asking.
Folks are really
about.
Divided over this, Brian, aren't they?
Well, there's I think there's a key question about whether other options should have been considered and were reasonable alternatives. Would they have equally met the needs of the community for a 50-year water supply plan? And I think that's really what the debate is. There are other questions about did we get the right cost estimate? Was it too low? Was it too high? Were there lower options available for dredging? One of the criticisms that the Hook has been saying in their articles is that dredging was ruled out prematurely, that it was seen as too expensive, and that now, the way the stories are written, they're saying the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir will become a swamp. Well, that's sort of like saying, the schools are going to have, high school students that don't have a place to go to school in 50 years. And by that, I mean the budget time frame is very short. I mean, typically, folks are doing a 5, 10, 15-year look at their capital needs. And beyond that, they're not budgeting for it because it's not a time frame.
So you're saying just because it's not in the budget now doesn't mean it might not be in the budget in the future.
Right.
So they might dredge it in the future, but that they sort of put that off the table as part of a serious remedy for the 50-year water plan.
They have definitely not come forward and said, here's our plan for dredging. What Tom Frederick at the authority has said is dredging alone doesn't meet this community's needs, period. And he said that on your program.
Yeah,
you had him.
Yeah.
And so he sees, I think, dredging as something that needs to be explored in the future. Maintenance dredging would be a part of, the South Fork Ravanna's future. But they don't need to budget for that right now because it's outside of that time horizon. What they need to focus on now is the water supply plan that was approved by City Council Board of Supervisors that said build a bigger dam at Ragged Mountain, connect it with a pipeline to the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir. So that's why you see them focusing on that, writing these letters, publishing them, and saying, here's where we are with that plan.
Right.
That said, City Council is going to get to ask a lot of pointed questions about dredging next week and get some more information on the table.
It's a fascinating issue. And at the end of the day, and there's so many parts of it, there's a real learning curve to this. But at the end of the day, the thing for me personally, speaking for nobody but me here, I don't understand what the hurry is. I've never understood why is it that we've got this 50-year water plan we have to come up with, and we're trying to implement it like as quickly as possible. We're the only people in the state doing that.
Well, the reason is we've had some severe droughts where we've come close to being in a lot of danger as far as having enough water. So the 2002-2003 drought was a serious situation, and certainly a lot of people in the community remember that and the measures that were put in place to try to conserve water. And, you know, we came out of that one okay.
Yeah.
And certainly in this most recent drought, we showed that the community can come together, conserve water. But, you know, there are a number of reasons for the urgency, Coy, and one would be preparing for that next drought. The second would be they have to do something with two pieces of infrastructure that have serious problems. The Ragged Mountain Dam needs repairs. Now, they could spend several million dollars and fix that as it is right now in place. Or in the plan that they've got, they're going to build a brand new dam. So that's one piece of infrastructure they're worried about. The other piece is the pipeline that currently runs from Ragged Mountain here in Charlottesville, off Fontaine Avenue. The pipeline runs from there all the way to Sugar Hollow outside of Crozet. And that pipeline is 80 years old, leaking, needs to be replaced. So another thing, you know, when people say just dredge South Fork and be happy, they're forgetting that, well, you still have to fix the dam at Ragged Mountain. You still have to replace or eliminate the pipeline going to Sugar Hollow, because that's how water gets to Ragged Mountain. Ragged Mountain has no big watershed that it can draw from. It's sort of, you know, isolated in a little ring of mountains.
Just one of the bathtubs we use.
And the way that bathtub gets filled is from a straw that goes all the way up to Sugar Hollow. So the new proposal on the table is build a bigger straw that connects our two existing reservoirs. One benefit of Ragged Mountain is it will never silt up because, again, it has no watershed that has silt coming from it. So that's one you'll never have to dredge. Similar to Sugar Hollow, you don't have to dredge Sugar Hollow because it's national forest above Sugar Hollow.
Right.
There was one event where there was a landslide that put some sediment in there, but on a regular basis, you're not losing capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you are at the South Fork, where we're losing 1% a year to silt.
Brian Wheeler joins us. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director at Charlottesville Tomorrow, and the big meeting tonight that you're going to be at with full coverage that will be on the Charlottesville Tomorrow blog tonight or tomorrow.
This is the Albemarle County Planning Commission. They're having their weekly meeting. They meet every week in the county. They keep busy,
really?
Busy. Yep.
They meet every week?
Yep,
they meet as often as you and I do.
Every time I'm in here, I'm heading right over there.
Really? No, I never knew that.
Pretty much.
Wow. So it's usually on Tuesdays at 6.
Yeah.
How many people on that?
There's 7 people that can vote on that, and then UVA has a member that cannot vote. But
they're like District of Columbia.
Yeah.
They can sit down on the meetings, but they got to keep their mouth shut.
Well, I'm not sure I'd compare them to the District of Columbia.
They don't get to vote.
It's sort of, well, anyway.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
Yes,
but
indeed.
They have 3 items on their agenda tonight that are interesting, I think, to your listeners. One is heading up 29 North, you pass Lowe's, and then you've got, you know where Kegler's is. And right now there's that.
I know. I've been bowling at Kegler's.
Yeah. I was just there for, my son went to a birthday party there. He had a great time.
Really?
And there's that little empty spot of grass between Chul's Furniture and Lowe's.
That old putt-putt is.
The old putt-putt, which had that sort of mountainous course. And that was a fun little putt-putt.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
It wasn't, of course, the brand putt-putt. But
no, but it was like a little goofy golf.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Atlanta, Georgia, we called it goofy golf.
Goofy golf.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is in front of the Planning Commission tonight for one thing, a special use permit for a drive-in window. See, all these, this is the type of stuff. This is how the stuff presents itself.
That's
to
when your spidey sense starts tingling. Who needs a drive-in window?
And then I start digging. Okay.
And so what did you find out?
I found they're going to put 3 buildings.
3?
3 buildings, 2 along the road.
So they're going to totally raise the putt-putt. They're going to get
that's
rid
gone.
Of that,
yep,
that hole, all that grass.
There'll be 2 buildings right along 29, and then there'll be a 3rd building, which would be a daycare center, up, you know, as you head up the road and then turn right to go to Kegler's?
Yeah.
There's sort of a patch of trees right in front of you as you make that turn.
And there's a road that goes straight there, up into the trees, right?
No, I think it turns.
Okay.
But anyway, right there will be a 3rd building. So they've got a little complex. This is called Ravana Plaza, 3 buildings. And but really, the only matter apparently in front of the Planning Commission is a special use permit for a drive-in window.
Is that fast food?
I didn't see in the staff report what it's for. Certainly, they said a retail drive-through. So what that retail structure is selling, I don't
know. Would food be retail?
Well,
retailing,
I would think
food?
That would be restaurant. So retail.
Because when you think drive-through window, you think 2 things, fast food or like a CVS drive-up pharmacy.
Yep, or banking.
Or a bank.
Banking.
Would that be under retail?
Well, I would think so. But I'll check into it tonight.
Interesting.
We'll find out what they say.
Yeah.
The next item is St. Anne's Belfield, private school in the community.
They need a drive-through window?
They're not doing drive-through service. However, they are expanding their lower school, which is preschool through eighth grade. This is not the one right in on Ivy Road, but the one off of Faulkner Drive.
Yeah, you can see the playground and the field there.
Yeah, from the bypass, you can see it.
And that is always a busy place, isn't it?
And so they have a work session tonight. So there will not be a vote tonight, having a work session on the St. Anne's Belfield expansion. They're trying to go from 330 students to 550 at that location.
Ka-ching.
So that's in front of them.
So they want to build new buildings back there, I guess.
That's right.
Wow.
And then the third item is the Planning Commission is starting their economic development work sessions. What happens is, Coy, the comprehensive plan has part of it that's focused on economic development, and the Board of Supervisors has asked the Planning Commission to start reviewing that and come forward with new ideas for a new version of this comprehensive plan, an update to the comprehensive plan. So this will be speaking to the things like light industrial uses. Where can we have commercial activities in the county? Where do we need more land for local business expansion? What kind of economy can we have in the rural countryside? So we've got, agricultural enterprises are declining, but that may spike up a little bit with wineries and growing grapes. So that's the type of uses they'll be looking at and trying to figure out what is the best approach for Albemarle County when it comes to economic development.
Interesting. Is this a citizens panel or is this staff doing this?
This is staff. The county has a business development facilitator. Her name is Susan Steinmart. And Susan will be presenting information to the commission over the course of 1, 2, 3, 4 work sessions. And then there will be a public hearing probably in June, where the public can weigh in. Typically, the Planning Commission always accepts comments at their work sessions. So even tonight, I expect them to open up the floor to anybody that wants to talk about it. So if you're interested in economic development in Albemarle County, you're going to have 4 opportunities in the next 2 months to weigh in.
What's the end result of that? Some type of economic development strategy or plan?
It would be a comprehensive plan amendment that would come before the Board of Supervisors and say, here are the new ideas we have for our next 10-year plan.
There you go. Like, we needed a big new factory somewhere, stuff like that.
Yep.
I doubt they'll say that, but...
Actually, it's probably a 20-year plan.
20-year plan. All right. So you'll be there tonight getting all the details. Brian Wheeler, the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.